Joy and excitement in church. So what we're talking about this month is we're talking about making a difference this year. Joy and excitement in church. We of all people on earth should understand these two words, joy and excitement. This should be a joyous time when we gather together. It should be reflected in the way we interact with each other. It should be reflected in the way that we sing the songs, the spirit and the attitude in our hearts. It should be in how we come into God's word during this time of the service. It should be a joyous time as we come into communion, a joyous time as we share in the offering. This is a time to be excited, to share in this time together. We've explored just two reasons behind our joy. So far, we looked at the first week, we talked about how peace in God brings us joy. Peace results in joy. Last week, we looked at how doing good things for others, that brings joy. And neither of those circumstances are dependent on our circumstances or the situation that we find ourselves in. That God can bless us with joy, or with peace, rather, internal peace when we don't have external peace. And that brings joy. No matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself in, there's always someone there that could use your help. Always someone there that could use your help. I'm pretty sure I gave the challenge to both services. I don't know if it was just came to my mind last week during second service. Was it first service also where I challenged you that if you were gutsy enough to ask God to provide an opportunity this week? Okay. You guys were in second service, weren't you? No, it wasn't here? Well, then let me offer that challenge here, because it was something that came second service, and it was a pretty spirit-felt challenge. And so based on last week's message, I challenge you this week to pray an honest prayer to God and be gutsy enough to ask him to present to you an opportunity this coming week that'll be unmistakable. You'll know this is the opportunity that God has put before me to help someone. And just ask, just one opportunity this week, and make sure I don't miss it, God. And so I want to challenge you with that. It was just something that came to my heart second service, and so it wasn't part of the notes. And then the idea of that is that after you notice that moment, and you do whatever it is that God has called you to do to help that person, or people, or whatever the situation is, that you take a moment and that you'd kind of bask a little bit in the joy of what it feels like to help someone. And connect that to the reasons we talked about last week. That the joy of walking in the image of Christ, of doing the things that he would do. The joy of knowing that you've helped, that you've made God happy, that you've pleased God with your act of faith, that you've been a light to the world. And just kind of reflect on that just for a moment to connect that. So if you took notes last week, you can go on and pull those, take those with you. That way you can think about that. Think, okay, these are the things I need to reflect on. So we are a people of joy. We are a group that should be experiencing joy through peace, through helping others, and through many other avenues associated with our relationship with God. We just talked about two avenues in this series, and those are the only ones we're really going to talk about to continue building through the series. But there are many reasons connected to our relationship with God for us to have joy and excitement in the church. We have a relationship with God. We have joy. We have excitement. So as we continue on our journey through the subject today, we're talking about how this joy results in praising God. And we're going to build off of the two subjects that we've already looked at about how peace brings joy. And so that if peace brings joy, then joy should result in praising God. That should be something that we should be able to see consistently. Helping others brings joy. And if helping others brings joy and joy results in praising God, then helping others, the ultimate end of that will be that God will be praised. God will be lifted up. So we've kind of got two mini sermons, two half sermons this morning on those two subjects and how those collide and come into our time of praising God in song. So let's go and write down the first one, talking about peace. When we experience joy because of the peace God has given us, praising Him with a song is a natural response. When we experience that peace that God gives to us, that God blesses us with, that brings joy, and that joy, a natural response for that joy is singing praise, praising God. And praising God doesn't always have to happen through singing. That's a popular way. The book of Psalms is a pretty typical place to go if you're looking for passages that talk about just raw worship, heartfelt worship. David and the other psalmists who wrote in the book of Psalms, that they reveal their heart. And so let's go to Psalm 28 for this section today. It's a passage that connects some of the principles of peace that we looked at a few weeks ago, and it connects them with the joy and the praising of God. So let's read the whole thing, and then we'll break this down and get some take-home pieces from it. Praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry of mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise Him. So when we experience joy because of our peace in God, our peace from God, then that should result in praising Him. When you enter a time of singing to praise God, I want you to ask yourself next week, and I'll try to make sure during the announcements I remind you of these questions, but we're going to go through Psalm 28 and kind of break down some questions we can ask ourselves as we come into a time of singing that will help our worship to be a time of joy, a time of excitement. Based on just this passage here, Psalm 28. Let's go back up to verse 6. It says, praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. So let's write this question down. Ask yourself this before you enter a time of singing, a time of praising God. How has God responded to my cry for mercy? How has God responded to my cry for mercy? Have you been saved by God through Jesus, that name we just sung about? Wasn't that a cry for mercy to call out on the name of Jesus and be saved? A number of songs we sing here on a Sunday morning are about that very subject. Next Sunday, let me challenge you to pause and really pay attention to the lyrics you're singing. Sometimes we get so used to singing songs that we don't pay attention to the lyrics because we're used to them. And if it's a new song, you'd think you'd pay more attention to the lyrics, but oftentimes if it's a new song, we're paying attention to how much we don't know the song instead of actually worshiping using the song. Let me challenge you next Sunday, really pay attention to the words you're singing. Every word that's on the screen, every word that's coming out of your mouth, and think about its meaning. Take them to heart. Chances are, at some point on a Sunday, you are going to be singing about how thankful you are for the salvation that God has given to you through the name of Jesus. Praising God for His grace and mercy, that's a praiseworthy subject, isn't it? A subject that brings peace, and in turn, brings joy, and then should result in what? Praising God, singing praise to His name. So as you sing songs about how God has had mercy on you, it'd be very, very easy to let our minds think about the things that He has had mercy on us for. And just even the week before, in the midst of a week where you've had and I've had and we've all had decisions that could have been made better, we've done some things that were outright rebellious to God. We've done some things that were mistakes. We've done some things that have hurt ourselves. We've done some things that have hurt others. We've done some things that God would not have been proud of. And yet we come on a Sunday and we praise His name. And so next week, as we're singing the songs and we're thinking about His mercy, you don't have to go too far back to think about how amazing His mercy is. It's being shared with us constantly, and thank God it is. Continues verse 7, he says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. So ask yourself, how has God strengthened me through a tough time recently? How has God strengthened me through a tough time recently? Maybe you're going through a tough time now. Maybe you've just been through one recently. How has God strengthened you in that time? Meditate on that. Focus on that, and then let that come out in praise. Let that come out in the songs you sing. Let that come out in the words that you share about your God. How he has strengthened you through a tough time. Let that be a point of reflection to bring joy, because if he strengthened you, that's a form of peace. And that peace brings joy. God's supernatural strength, a great source of peace in troubled times, difficult times. You know, God doesn't always remove us from our situations. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. He doesn't always make them easier. Sometimes he gives us the strength to stand rather than an exit to run to. So don't forget to praise God for those times. Don't forget to praise God for that. That source of joy that comes from peace, that God himself has stepped in to fortify you. The Lord is my strength and my shield, the psalmist writes. So not only is he our strength, but he's also our shield. He's our protection. So the next time you're singing songs of praise to God, ask yourself, when did I last experience God's protection? And this is different from the internal strength we just talked about. This is a protection from God outside yourself. A barrier, a great wall of God's protections. Yet sometimes God does give us an escape to run to. He gives us an open door that's spoken about in Scripture. Sometimes he strengthens us to stand up under the difficult times. But then there are sometimes when we run under his cover, and he is our shield, he is our protection. When you sing to God, try and remember the last time you experienced God's shielding. As I'm mentioning this, I can see, and it's really exciting for me, because I can see in a lot of your eyes, you're already getting thoughts of things. I remember when this happened, or this was. This is more recent than I'd like to admit, or this is more recent than I'd like. I don't want to go through a time like that again, but God did strengthen me. And so it's neat to see Scripture, Psalm 28, opening some ideas. Let's ask ourselves another question as we come into worship. And that is my heart focused on trusting him? Is my heart focused on trusting him? A few weeks ago when we talked about how Paul said we should not be anxious about what? Anything, but in all things, in everything, in every situation, I believe this is the exact translation from the NIV, in every situation we should go to God in prayer. We should bring those things to God in prayer. So is my heart focused on trusting him? The psalmist writes, my heart trusts in him and he helps me. So are you trusting in him? Is your heart focused on that? If so, there is a peace to be found in that trust. Laying your anxieties down and just trusting God. Taking them to God in prayer and just trusting in him. There's a peace to be found there. And if there's peace to be found there, then there's a joy to be found there. And if there's a joy to be found there, then there's a reason to praise God for the peace that he's brought you. You're not going to find that if your heart's not focused on him. You're not going to find that if your heart's not focused on trusting him. So if we really want to experience the joy of praising God, don't we have to first focus our hearts? Don't we first have to trust him? And we come to him in faith and we praise him. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. So the last question out of this passage that we'll ask ourselves, how has God helped me lately? Maybe God has sent someone to meet a need for you. Maybe that need was some sort of material need, a money situation, food, a car repair, some sort of repair around the house that you couldn't pay for, but someone stepped in and God led them to you to use their skills to help you out in a time of need. How has God helped you lately? Maybe God has sent someone to you on an emotional level, an ear to talk to, maybe an intellectual level, someone who had some wise words to speak into your life at a time when you needed them. And you know, that help came from God through another person. When was the last time? How has God helped me lately? Maybe it was just some companionship. Maybe God just sent someone to your house unexpectedly in a time of loneliness, in a time when you were thinking, you know, I really could use someone right now. Maybe it's a phone call from a friend. How has God helped me lately? So that whole passage, just two verses in Psalm 28. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
And with my song, I praise him. I almost split the sermon in two pieces and would have preached that at the beginning, but sometimes that disjointedness, you lose the continuity, the whole message. So I'll try and remind us of that next week shortly before worship. But that's such a potent couple of verses there in Psalms. So what about our other subject? We talked about that there's peace, and that peace brings joy, and a natural response from the peace that brings joy from God is singing songs. What about the subject of helping others? We talked about that last week. Helping others brings joy. So let's write this down. Helping others has multiple points of joy, all of which result in praise to God. For this section, we're going to go to the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is a passage where Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about the gift that they have committed to give to the Macedonia churches, the churches in Macedonia. Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That last little phrase there is just so potent. God loves a cheerful giver. Let's write this down. Cheerful generosity is a form of worship to God. That's why we emphasize offering in our worship service, not as just something, not as a formality, not as just something to keep the lights on or the bills paid. It's a form of worship to give to God. And God enjoys seeing a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Now, this isn't, you know, you can read that and say, well, he loves a cheerful giver. This doesn't mean that his love is dependent on our generosity or our cheerfulness in our generosity. Our generosity is not some condition for his love. He doesn't love someone because of that. What this passage is saying is that it's capturing an emotional response from God about this action, about this attitude. God emotionally responds. He loves to see this action. He enjoys seeing this. He loves the scene. He loves to see this, the heart and the attitude and the action of a cheerful giver. It's an emotional response from God. He loves to see this. He loves to see it because it mimics him. It follows his example. Wouldn't we consider God a cheerful giver? Haven't we read about that in Scripture? And it's a form of worship to imitate God, to follow his example. Paul continues in verse 8. He says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. So the joy of understanding that I am blessed to be a blessing praises God as the original source of the blessing. Let's write that down. The joy of understanding that I am blessed to be a blessing. We talked about that last week. I am blessed to be a blessing. And this is a key passage where that truth comes from. I'm blessed to be a blessing. That understanding, the joy from that understanding, it praises God as the original source of the blessing. When we understand that we're blessed to be a blessing, there's a form of worship there, that we're worshiping God, we're praising God because we're recognizing he's the original source of the blessing. It is God who blesses the giver. That's how the giver has the ability to give, because it came from God. So not only does this show that God has provided for us, but it shows that he's provided for us in excess, that he's provided for us in abundance, that there's leftover. And that the purpose, when we understand that the leftover is not just more for us, that the leftover, the extra, the excess, is that we've been blessed to be a blessing. When we understand that, that brings a joy. And so God is praised by the heart of a cheerful giver, because God loves to see that. God is praised by the attitude of a cheerful giver, that the generosity that comes from understanding that we are blessed to be a blessing. And so God is praised by the giver, but he's also praised by the recipient. Paul captures that side of the coin in verse 11 as he continues. He said, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So when the recipient of your generosity recognizes God as the original source, they will praise God with thanksgiving. Next time Salonique's in town, ask him. Salonique from Living Water in Haiti, who we're going to go visit in about a month. Ask him who he thanks when he receives a gift from a church in the United States. I guarantee you, his thanks goes to God first. Ask Jay Henry. He'll be here in May. Ask Jay Henry from Bethlehem Living Water in mid-India who he thanks when he receives a financial gift. Ask Safah Fahmy of Christian Arabic Services, a missionary in Egypt. You don't even have to go that far. I've told you many times that when I've received things that have been a blessing, my first praise goes to God. The people you help, when we help each other, which is a biblical concept to help those inside the church for sure. When we do that, we should know that as we help each other, the person, the other Christian brother or sister that we help, they're going to be praising God. Your gift, your generous heart, not only is an act of worship on the giving side, but on the receiving side. When people receive that, as a Christian brother and sister, they're going to praise God. It will result in praises. It will result in thanksgiving. So helping others, it brings joy, and that joy results in praising God. And last, your example of love will also cause others to praise God. Your example of love will cause others to praise God. Didn't Jesus said, let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. It's a form of praising God, isn't it? Let others see your good deeds. The result of that is praise to God. The result of our good deeds praise that results from that simply because it's an example of God's love. What you're doing, when you're helping others, is an example of God's love. Paul concludes this section. He says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession. He's already talked about the worship from giving. He's already talked about the thanksgiving of the receiver. And now he's saying that others will praise God for the obedience. Your example of love will be a witness to others. It will cause praise outside of those directly affected by you helping others. I know for me, when I hear someone tell a story of when they've helped someone out and they're excited about that and they're, you know, I loved how God used me in this situation or whatnot, I get enjoyment out of that. I praise God for those situations. I think that's, wouldn't that be most of us? I hope all of us. When we hear about those stories, that results in thanksgiving. That results in praise from us, even if we're not even involved in the helping situation. So Paul says, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.